Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. And today's Tuesday. It's the day in our weekly daily rhythm to keep us all in sync as one community that we study the Bible together, try to understand our topic of the week from a biblical perspective. This week's topic is how following Jesus resets our views of death. It's a topic that our culture generally wants to ignore and delay and fear and avoid altogether if we can. Problem, though, is that we eventually discover we're very ill-informed if we do that. You know, many a child discovers how ill-informed they were about their parents' wishes until the parent actually dies, and they don't know what kind of funeral the person wanted, cremation or burial, where they wanted to be buried, those kinds of questions. These are questions our culture wants to really push off as much as possible, but we end up ill-informed. And that's just from a practical perspective. Can also be ill-informed about death from a spiritual perspective. And that's exactly the kind of thing that Paul had to say to one of the churches that he started in the town of Thessalonica. He told them they were ill-informed about death. Here's what he had to say in 1 Thessalonians. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Well, I think the first thing we need to wrestle with is just the fact that Paul uses sleeping as an analogy for death. Telling the Christians in the town of Thessalonica that those who've died are kind of like they're sleeping. Now, he's careful, and I'm going to be careful about how I say this too, because there are all sorts of theories out there about exactly how this works. They range from a formal theory of soul sleep to people who want to avoid talk of sleep altogether for fear that it will impact other areas of their theology and their belief. But all we're going to point out here is that Paul says that death is kind of like sleeping for a follower of Jesus who dies before Jesus returns to earth and brings the fullness of his kingdom here. It's clear that some of the first Christians after Jesus' resurrection were pretty sure that Jesus would be coming back, returning to the earth, or what we call the second coming, very, very soon. These letters to the Thessalonians were actually written quite early. They were some of the earliest letters written after the death of Jesus. And so there was a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. And for the first community of followers of Jesus, that anticipation certainly led them to see every day as a possible day that Jesus might return. And Paul was included in that group. And so when some Christians started to die before having seen the second coming of Jesus, there were obviously some concerns and some questions. What's happening? What's happening to those who die before the second coming of Jesus? Because Jesus did say that some of this generation wouldn't see death until he came again. And they were probably referring to those words. Well, I think it all comes down to how you interpret the word generation. Does generation mean what we usually think it means? Grandparents, parents, children, all being separate generations? Well, clearly not, because Jesus would have been talking to people of various generations. So he must mean something a little more broad that includes multiple generations of people. And we may immediately think that those who are alive today are the generation, but it seems maybe they represent something larger. The generation of people who have experienced and learned about Jesus' first appearance on earth, and his death and resurrection, and are now part of what we call Act 5. Sometimes we talk about a sixth act play where God creates, we rebel, God tries to bring us back into the fold, but actually has to come back to us to help us through Jesus. Act 5 is when we're invited to then improvise with God, now that he's come here, in a way that makes sense of all that he's done in the past and connects it to the future that God has planned, his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. So certainly this generation, as the Act 5 generation, are those who have come after Jesus' first appearance on earth and are practicing God's kingdom to be ready for it when it arrives in Act 6. We're part of that generation if we're watching this video or listening to this podcast. Jesus wasn't promising that nobody in that generation would ever experience a physical death. We're not in God's kingdom fully yet. It hasn't arrived fully on this earth yet, and so death is still something that exists in our world. So Followers of Jesus continue to die a physical death, but Paul tries to give hope to the Thessalonians by saying that that physical death is something like sleeping. Why would he say that? Why is sleeping a hopeful thing? Well, first of all, sleeping is something that people do when they're alive, not dead. And so what he's saying is that the physical death they've experienced isn't final. There is still life in those who have died a physical death. They are not completely annihilated. There is something of life that's happening there. They're not done yet, and that's a good sign. Sleeping also means that time passes sort of unawares. We don't know often how long we've slept. We simply wake up and turn over and look at the clock or try to get a sense of our feeling of how we woke up. But if we've had a sound sleep, it's been continuous, we really don't know in our sleep how long we slept or not. What Paul was pointing out was that those who had died before the second coming of Jesus would find it like the blink of an eye, just like they had an extended nap and woke up and they were in the kingdom of heaven. Time will pass unaware for them. Sleeping is also meant to be a peaceful thing. It isn't always, but in this case, we talk a lot about peaceful rest in terms of death. Sleeping is peaceful. It's something we do not when we're agitated, but rather when we're peaceful. And so we can easily say that those who are sleeping, who are waiting for the resurrection day, the waiting for the day that the kingdom of heaven comes in its fullness, well, they're at rest. Time is passing for them without any awareness, and they are very much alive, even if they are physically dead. And sleeping is hardly something worth grieving about. There's a lot of hope here that those who've died in Christ as his followers are simply sleeping peacefully and will wake up someday in the kingdom of heaven. And there's a lot of imagery that surrounds the kingdom of heaven, what it's like and so on, but I think the bottom line is always that God is there, and that's really all that will matter. It's all that makes heaven attractive. All these other ideas about clouds and golden roads and things like that are meant to just communicate and convey something powerful about the experience of being with God. Well, I've got a question for you to think about and hopefully discuss with a small discussion group if you're forming one. And if you haven't yet, I'd encourage you to. Our question for today is, how do you respond to the idea of death being a sleep-like state? How is it different from other descriptions you've heard? Does it give you hope or fear? And don't forget, we're reading the Bible in sync as a community, so check our website or app to see what today's reading is. Have a great one. Bye for now.